Hello again, I'm Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Did you see the Christmas tree in front of Fox News was set on fire? Very terrible, but Jimmy Kimmel said the fire is believed to have started after Fox News' pants caught on fire. Colbert, Fox News tried to warn us this was coming. Every time a store clerk says happy holidays, a Christmas tree bursts into flames. Kimmel, even though lighting trees on fire is very much in line with Fox's position on climate change, the hosts of their morning show were very upset. But Stephen Colbert for the win. Of course, this would have never have happened if the tree had a gun. Will Wheaton took a shot at Dave Chappelle. This is not going to go where you think. So if you're starting off right now and you're like, Will Wheaton, screw you, man. Shut up, Dave Chappelle. Like, give me a second here. From Bounding into Comics, Will Wheaton. You know Will, he was Wesley Crusher on Star Trek The Next Generation. That's who this guy is. Will Wheaton took to Facebook where he shared a Rolling Stone article announcing that Dave Chappelle would headline the Netflix festival. Will wrote, absolutely disgusted. Every single comedian who's on this bill should withdraw unless and until this despicable bigot is uninvited. Any comedian who is part of this should be ashamed of themselves. Netflix may not believe in holding this piece of S to account, but you all have to live with yourselves and the choices you make to perform with him. And F everyone at Netflix who's part of this. Trans rights are human rights and words matter. He then did an edit 12 hours later. Edit. 12 hours later, an important follow-up thought. It's very easy for me to sit in my chair and issue edicts about what other people should do. That's presumptuous, and it overwhelms a larger point that I made in a comment here, which is also in its own post. I withdraw that outburst, and I regret saying it. Like, I don't know if anyone cares, but I guess I do, and I want to own it. That comment, which he turned into a post, Will Wheaton wrote, for anyone who genuinely doesn't understand why I feel as strongly as I do about people like Chappelle making transphobic comments that are passed off as jokes, I want to share a story that I hope will help you understand and contextualize my reaction to his behavior. When I was 16, I played ice hockey almost every night at a local rink. I was a goalie. They always needed goalies, so I could show up, put on my gear, and just wait for some team to call me onto the ice. It was a lot of fun. One night, I played a couple of hours of pickup with some really great dudes. They were friendly, they were funny, they enjoyed the game, they treated me like I was part of their team, they welcomed me. After we were finished, we were all in the locker room getting changed into our regular clothes. Before I tell you what happened next, I wanted to talk specifically about comedy and how much I loved it when I was growing up. I listened to records and I watched comedy specials whenever I could. One of the definitive comedy specials for me and my friends was Eddie Murphy's Delirious from 1983. It had bits that still kill me. The ice cream song, Aunt Bunny falling down the stairs, Mom throwing the shoe, really funny stuff. There is also extensive homophobic material that is just effing appalling and inexcusable. Long stretches of this comedy film are devoted to mocking gay people, using the slur that starts with F over and over and over. Young Will, who watched this with his suburban white upper middle class friends in his privileged bubble, thought it was the funniest, edgiest, dirtiest thing he'd ever heard, and it killed him. And all of it was dehumanizing to gay men, all of it was cruel, all of it was bigoted, all of it was punching down. And I didn't know any better. I accepted the framing. I developed a view of gay men as predatory, somehow less than straight men, absolutely worthy of mockery and contempt. Always good for a joke, though. Let me put this another way. A comedian who I thought was one of the funniest people on the planet totally normalized making a mockery of gay people. And because I was a privileged white kid raised by privileged white parents, there was nobody around to challenge that perception. For much of my teen years, I was embarrassingly homophobic, and it all started with that comedy special. Let's go back to the locker room. So I'm talking with these guys. We're all just laughing, having a good time. We're doing that sports thing where you talk about the great plays and feel like you're part of something special. Then without realizing what I was doing, that awful word came out of my mouth. I'm trying to figure out a way how to share what Will wrote here. I'm going to use the word maggot in place. He wrote, that awful word came out of my mouth. Blah, 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 maggot. The room fell silent. And that's when I realized every single guy in the room was gay. They were from a team called the Blades, and I had just really effed up. One player asked, do you have any gay friends? Yeah. Then I lied. They say that all the time, meaning the word. I was so embarrassed and horrified. I realized I had basically said the N-word in context, and I didn't know what to do. I wanted to disappear. I wanted to apologize. I wanted to beg forgiveness, but I was a stupid 16-year-old with pride and ignorance and fear all over myself, so I lied to try to get out of it. The teammate said, they must not love themselves very much. Nobody said another word to me. I felt terrible. I shoved my gear in my bag and left as quickly as I could. That happened over 30 years ago. I think about it all the time. I'm mortified, embarrassed, and so regretful that I said such a hurtful thing. Wheaton then proceeded to apologize to the hockey players in the story, saying, I doubt very much that any of those men would be reading this today, but if so, I'm so sorry. I deeply, profoundly, totally regret this. I've spent literally my entire life since this happened making amends and doing my best to be the strongest ally I can be. I want to do everything I can to prevent another kid from believing the same bigotry I believed because I was ignorant and privileged. Yeah, that Eddie Murphy special, again, if you're my age, that was like the special. And parts of it have not aged well. Maybe my memory's fuzzy with the years. I remember us really focusing on the Michael Jackson parts and the parts about singing. I feel like those were the parts that would quote, and I'll to this day just bust into Elvis doing, "Lemonade, that cool, refreshing drink," that bit. But really good post by Will Wheaton there. Speaking of Dave Chappelle from Yahoo, BoJack Horseman creator Raphael Bob Waxberg said he is mystified that Netflix did not edit trans jokes from Chappelle's recent special. He added that Netflix once cut jokes about David Fincher from an episode of his animated comedy. He said, still mystified that apparently Dave Chappelle's deal is that he says whatever he wants and Netflix just has to air it. Is that normal for comedians? Because Netflix once asked me to change a joke because they were worried it might upset David Fincher. He later walked back his memory of Netflix's reasoning for asking the scene be removed. He wrote, just looked up the cut Fincher joke because I actually couldn't remember it. Turns out it was a whole scene. Netflix was right to note, it's a dumb scene. My point was, it's silly for a network to pretend their hands are tied when it comes to the content they put on their network. He went back and reread Netflix's note, concluding, I think they probably just didn't think it was that funny. In any case, the show didn't suffer without it. But he had another point to make about Chappelle. For a comedian who famously walked away from his hit TV show because he was worried he was making things worse, it's remarkable how many of his fans and collaborators believe comedians have no responsibility not to make things worse. And from WHIO, there was a meeting at the Yellow Springs Village Council discussing plans to rezone over 50 acres of property located north of East Hyde Road and west of Spillin Road. That area, under the proposal, would become a housing development. Why am I mentioning this? Well, one citizen attended the meeting and was very vocal about their opposition. That citizen, Yellow Springs resident Dave Chappelle. Chappelle told the council that besides living behind the proposed development, he has many business interests in town. I just want to say I'm adamantly opposed to it. I've invested millions of dollars in town. If you push this thing through, what I'm investing in is no longer applicable. Dave said the average age in Yellow Springs is 49. Without a school, they won't be able to attract young families. Dave says the changes are inevitable, but we do have a decision on what they will or could be. Dave said if the proposal does go through, the developers can come in and buy all his property, too. Joe Rogan is upset at CNN. This from Newsweek quoting Joe's podcast. Joe Rogan talking about the firing of Chris Cuomo. Rogan said, I think CNN is realizing that their ratings are dog S and that having these highly polarizing editorial personalities like Brian Stetler and Don Lemon. Personally, maybe it's just my bias. I want the news. I want objective news. I want someone to tell me what the facts are. I want someone to tell me what are the facts of what's going on and what's happening. I don't want your ideological slant. I don't want this left-wing propaganda network, which is what CNN has become. The way I look at CNN now is so different than the way I looked at CNN 15, 20 years ago. I used to look at them as how I get the news. This is unbiased professional news. They're going to tell me what's happening in Pakistan and what's happening in Mogadishu. These are the real journalists that are telling you the news. Now I look at them, I go, you effing propagandist, the right arm of Pfizer, what are you doing? I think there's a market for real news, and it's really hard to find that now. If you enjoy the show and you would like to be a supporter of the show, you can go to Good Pods, and there's a tip jar there, or buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Dan Bublitz did that. He bought three coffees. Thank you very much, Dan Bublitz. He wrote, buy you and Glenn a beer at Trivia. Well, as I wrote to Dan on the side, I didn't make Trivia this week. Some of the teammates, one's a little ill, got a cough, gotta avoid him. Not hanging out with that guy, you know what I mean? And Glenn had to be late, but Glenn said to thank Dan for the potential beer. Next week, I will buy Glenn two beers at Trivia. Again, you can support the show at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. I thought I'd do something a little different today. As I was prepping the show, I found this on backstage.com. They've compiled a list of some up-and-coming comedy-related casting calls. I thought I'd take a look at those and see what's going on out there. Backstage ads. You can join Backstage to access jobs you can apply to right now. This is not a commercial. This is me just doing show prep. Wandering Mind Comedy. A production company is creating a comedic channel of sketches and short films and needs talent. Performers will consist of like-minded individuals who have a passion for the creative process, can be any gender, must be aged 18 or older. They're needing an older male, age 60 or older, who will play a spooky role. Rehearsals ongoing, TBD in NYC. The gig pays nothing. Next up, Reservoir Dogs. This SNL-like sketch comedy about the 1992 film Reservoir Dogs is casting, seeking a male talent aged 45 to 70, hey, that could be me, a second male talent aged 25 or older, and a female talent aged 25 or older. Shoots TBD in NYC, roles are unpaid. HAPA, Season 1. HAPA is a satire show featuring a group of gangsters in a mattress store. I'm in. The show's about a gangster who struggles with self-identity and is trying to find his place in his community, casting a female or non-binary role, aged 18 to 28, another role of any gender, aged 20 to 30, and plenty more supporting roles. Films December to February in LA. Pay is deferred. Next up, Online Comedy Sketch Show. This is an online improvisational sketch series starring two guys, and they need some talent. One, a male actor, age 20 to 25, who has improv experience. Production takes place in London. Unpaid, but all other accommodations are covered. All right. And finally, You Guys Suck as Friends, a sketch show. This sketch series needs two males to play comedic characters. One male, age 30 to 65, that could be me, must play a mentally unhinged role. The other male, aged 30 to 56, that could be me, must play a person who lacks people skills. No comment out there in the audience. I know what you're thinking, you jerks. Shoots for one day in January in Long Island. I live close to there. Pays $200. Travel and food included. Should I go out for You Guys Suck as Friends? And Lori went to the Facebook group. She knows that you go to Facebook and you type in Daily Comedy News Podcast Group and a whole thing comes up. She shared an article from Bustle. The headline, I'm in a parasocial relationship with Anna Marie Tendler. You know Anna Marie Tendler. She used to be married to John Mulaney. The writer shared that she felt betrayed when John Mulaney hooked up with Olivia Munn and writes, I felt like I was interested in some juicy celebrity gossip. Yeah, I know. Gossip corner. I hear you. Because my life after nearly 2 years in lockdown was becoming very boring. Start a podcast in your basement. It's a lot of fun. But some people on the internet thought that was weird. There's a term to condemn this weirdness, parasocial. There's nothing more compelling than a mystery, and I admit that I am fully enthralled by the enigma that is Anna Marie Tendler. The writer shares that a parasocial relationship is the one-sided relationship formed by an audience member to a public person, say, for example, a stand-up comedian. Anna Marie Tendler now describes herself as an artist, but she had a former life as a makeup artist and a hairstylist, even releasing a book with makeup tutorials. She had another book on hairstyles you can make with bobby pins. She makes and sells lampshades and woven tapestries. She attended graduate school for costume studies. I have no idea how she makes a living, says the writer. Anna's Instagram is a beautiful riddle of artistic photographs, many featuring Anna Marie Tendler herself looking slender and pale. As a Tim Burton character, usually in some eerie setting, a graveyard, a wallpapered room, a field. She's a mystery. There's nothing more compelling than a missing piece. Instagram reveals the interiors of people's homes, their outfits, their friends, what they're doing at any given time. Twitter shares all of our most mundane thoughts. TikTok fills out the rest. Yet somehow, even though my relationship with Anna is exclusively through social media, I feel like she's completely unknowable. Every one of her photographs ignites about a dozen questions in me. How long did this take to set up? Are you using a tripod? Is someone helping you? What do you think about social media? Where'd you get those deer antlers? But ultimately, the only question is, what do you actually like? Because if John Mulaney's last years taught us anything, it's that the people in the public eye that we think we might know might be very different in their actual personal lives. Good stuff, Lori. Thank you for sharing that on the Facebook group at Daily Comedy News. And that is your comedy news for today. Follow this show on Good Pods, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. Tomorrow, again, I'm doing in December reviews of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, season 15. Rough week, just to let you know that in advance. So tomorrow's only about It's Always Sunny. If you don't like that, you could skip the episode. It's okay. I know we're still friends. Now, Sunday is the episode I teased earlier in the week. I set out to do, you know, weekend article episode about the 30 comedies on Netflix you should watch right now, or whatever the hell the article was. And oh my God, I lost my mind by the end of it. So it's a lot of fun. So that's Sunday. Saturday's always sunny. Monday will be normal. See you there.